So what's your background?
Both me and Carly worked for Tesla for 8 years. We started back in 2015 when Tesla was just a startup.
Less than 90 employees, I think, when we started.
No way. So you helped build Tesla to what it is today?
Yeah.
Basically, yeah. I just always felt like I was stuck in the rat race. In the 8 years of being in Tesla, I built up such a variety of skills and different experiences. I felt like I couldn't grow any further.
Right.
And what I needed is a bigger challenge. Our friends call, our families call and say, hey, do you want to do this weekend or on this day? Whereas beforehand, it was like, oh, I can't do it. I'm stuck at work. I haven't got any holidays left. Whereas now it's, yeah, absolutely.
So really it's the freedom.
The Daily sent me to the building site with our little flyers, handed them out. And the first people that stayed then went on to stay for 13 months in total. £40,000 booking in total, £23,000 profit.
What will be your final pieces of advice to someone watching this that's maybe in a full-time job, loves the idea of being full-time in property, being financially free, wants to make their life count, but is trapped in a job and wants to get started? Welcome to Winners on a Wednesday.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Carly and Daly. So what's your background?
Our background is in car sales for a very well-known car manufacturer.
You got us curious.
Yeah.
Who?
Who is the big brand? It was Tesla.
Okay.
Yeah, so both me and Carly worked for Tesla for 8 years. We started back in 2015 when Tesla was just a startup company.
Really?
It was really fun.
That is fun.
Really great beginning.
Yeah.
Less than 90 employees, I think, when we started.
No way.
We helped.
So you helped build Tesla to what it is today?
Yeah.
Basically,
I think there was four chargers in the UK when we started our job.
Yeah. And three stores. Yeah. Only three stores.
It was tiny.
Does Elon Musk know who you are?
Don't think he does.
Probably
no.
not.
What do you think about electric cars? Do you think they're good?
Yeah, I think there's a place in the world.
I'm glad you say that because you were selling them.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate electric cars.
Yeah.
I mean, they are horrible. And you know what really annoyed me is when the government said, they're tax-free. Everybody went and bought one. And then they went, no, they're not.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. But there is possibly that is the future of cars. The only reason I don't like them is because it's so difficult to find charging points. And it takes more time, in my experience. We had a Mercedes electric, and it was just... I think if you're going to go electric, you have to go Tesla.
You do, yeah.
I said that because she was giving me daggers now. She's like, what are you saying about... I love Tesla. It's incredible.
No, so, you're very right.
And you guys were earning quite good money as well. You were on very high salaries.
Yeah. We were on a good salary, and we got good bonuses as well through stocks and shares.
Mm.
You know, as you see...
Did you own Tesla stocks?
Yes.
I think that was one of the very... few stocks in the last decade that's actually outperformed Bitcoin.
Yeah.
I think Tesla stock is gotta be, is it number one, or it's gotta be one of the best stocks you could have ever invested in?
Probably up there alongside of the likes of Amazon, I would imagine.
Amazon, no. It spanked Amazon. Yeah. Tesla spanked Amazon.
Well, it definitely did us good from 2015 until 2023.
So why did you want to quit then? You look at it so longingly, you still love Tesla, you were paid really well. Now you've quit, what made you want to get out of that wonderful job in the land of Tesla?
That's a really good question. Yeah. I think we had slightly different reasons to leave, but...
What were your reasons?
I think things have a lifespan.
Yeah.
It was exciting while it lasted. We had big changes in our life that then meant I could... look at things in a different way and say, right, you know what? You live one life. Like, if I want to get into property, why am I waiting? Started seeing your YouTube videos, went to the £1 crash course in February. And I was like, this is it. But we're going all in. I'm not, like in a diet, I'm not just going to give up chocolate. I'm going to commit to everything and get the results I want. And that's when we decided we'd just go all in.
Well, because you're successful people. I mean, there's a saying that says how you do anything is how you do everything. You know, you were doing well in your careers. If you apply that same discipline, work ethic and passion, you can succeed in just about anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what happened in your life? When you say about those of you things happening in your life, what happened?
Yeah, I've been very honest. I lost my little brother at Christmas. That was 3 years ago almost. And... at that point, it was like, actually, life doesn't necessarily write out that you get to a certain age and, you know, the Disney books that we're all shown, it's not like that. And that doesn't mean it's not okay. It just means you need to get on with it now, don't you? You need to, if there's something you want to do, just get on with it.
Yeah.
And if you really want it enough, then you'll work at it. Yeah. That's what we do. And
that's exactly right.
It's just been the best.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. But it's that kind of a thing that can give you such a wake up call, isn't it?
It hurts, of course, but everything has positive, and we literally grab the positive with two hands, don't we? And just then, yeah, this is us now. There's nothing stopping us. Let's go for it.
What about you, Daly? What was the motivation? I mean, with Carly, it was, man, life's short. I want to live my absolute best life, fullest life.
Mm-hmm.
What was it with you?
Similar to that, but also I just always felt like I was stuck in the rat race, really. Mm-hmm. In the 8 years of being in Tesla, I built up such a variety of skills and different experiences. I felt like I couldn't grow any further.
Right.
And what I needed is a bigger challenge so I can apply myself. And getting into property was one of the, I just saw it as the challenge to go for. I also like to be really hands-on. I like to see things grow as well.
Yeah.
I'm very much a fixer and a builder.
Yeah.
And, you know, what better thing to build than a career and a company with my partner?
And properties and develop them and refurb them.
Yeah, get hands-on. You know, I can't wait to start on our flip projects.
Would you say you're happier now or a year or two ago?
Much happier now.
Oh, yeah.
Much happier now.
Why?
Yeah.
It's more of a life balance, isn't it? Like?
Yeah, we have not missed a single family event.
Mm.
We used to miss all of them. And time is the reason we do this.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. There's definitely days where I think we've worked 24 hours out of 24.
Yeah.
That comes with it.
But it's on your terms.
Exactly. We say, right, actually, it's going to be a really heavy Monday to Friday because we're going away all weekend with the family.
Yeah. But we can do that now. We can do that. It's just, you know.
The best feeling.
Our friends call, our families call and say, hey, do you want to do this weekend or on this day? Whereas beforehand, it was like, oh, I can't do it. I'm stuck at work. I haven't got any holidays left. Whereas now it's, yeah, absolutely. I'm there. Tell me when.
Mm. So really, it's the freedom and family, friends, relationships, loved ones, which is really important.
Yeah.
It can't be all about the money.
Yeah. We're out of the rat race.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well done. Congratulations. Did you get to the point with your property business? Because you started, when did you start your property? Was it about a year ago?
Yeah, it was about a year ago. So we started the academy April 2023, and then we took the time to go through all the courses, do all the training, do all the live events. Yeah. And we kind of took our time to try to understand which models and which strategies we want to focus on. Mm. And then we took the massive leap of leaving our careers in October 2023.
At that point, had you got any properties or were you making any money?
Yeah, we had a couple of rent-to-rents.
Right.
Yeah. Thanks to your course.
Yeah.
Thank you. I tried my best.
Well, your best was good.
I appreciate it. I remember right in the early days of you at the programs. And I mean, Daly, Carly. You guys have got two similar names. Carly and Daly.
You need some name badges.
What's the name of your company?
Cradella. Which is an anagram of Carly and Daly.
There we go. You're just intrinsically linked. which is great to be able to do. But no, I remember you in the 80s. I remember you selling a deal at the Deal Selling Masterclass.
Yeah.
Which was incredible.
Yeah.
And I know it fell through and then you resold it and it's a whole story. But you've gone on to sell a lot of deals now.
Yeah.
I mean, you made your academy membership back, well, from like one booking, right? Tell me about that.
Yeah, so that was in the first rent-to-rent you sourced, wasn't it?
It was, yeah, yeah.
Slightly out of area to the predicted, but it was right on a huge building site. So there's like a 30-year build project in that area.
Mm, where's this?
It's on the Wirral.
Okay.
So we got that property, but it's beautiful as well.
Yeah.
So it gave us a double backup. If the contractors didn't go in because it's beautiful, we could attract others.
Yeah.
But we went... Well, I got sent straight to the building site with our little flyers.
Well, I didn't put me going on the building site, is there? No one's going to look at me.
So Daly sent me to the building site with our little flyers, handed them out, and the first people that stayed then went on to stay for 13 months in total. £40,000 booking in total, 23,000 profit.
On your first booking?
Yeah.
That is mad.
I know.
And then set the bar high, but then some people would say, I've put it on Airbnb and it's not getting any bookings.
Mm-hmm. But you need more than that.
Yeah, you do. You know, you were out there speaking with the businesses, mm-hmm. handing out flyers.
Yeah.
Where did that deal, where did you find that then, Daily?
I actually sourced that on Open Rent.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty much direct to landlord.
Mm.
Yeah. I had a chat with them. They were arming and arming about it. And then they called me back a couple of days later and said, look, I've had a think about what you've said and I'm a little bit interested. Let's meet up. So
What was this property? Was it an apartment?
It's a penthouse.
Penthouse.
Yeah, yeah. It's a duplex penthouse. It's in a beautiful old building. It overlooks the water over the cross to Liverpool. It's gorgeous.
See, Liverpool's banging. Liverpool, in the centre, city centre Liverpool. Because sometimes when people think about Liverpool, if they don't actually know it, they might think, oh yeah, really cheap area. And well, there are some cheap parts, but go city centre. It's almost like a small London, isn't it?
Well, this one is across the water from Liverpool City Centre.
Right.
It's not actually in there. It's on the other side.
Ah.
Yeah, but we saw the potential because of how much work is going to be going on around there. See, what we thought is there's a few different strategies with rent-to-rent. You can either go down the route of attracting tourists or contractors or NHS workers and, you know, things of sort of like that avenue. And we saw this rent-to-rent as a good potential for contractors, and that was our target audience.
Yeah,
because of the building work next to it, and that's why we went for it.
But that's really important. You've got to have a plan, a strategy, and you've got to know who your market is.
Yeah, yeah. And we have other rent-to-rents in Liverpool City Centre, and the target for that is tourists.
Right.
So we market it towards tourists, and they do really well as well.
Uh-huh.
You just need to know, as you said, who you're marketing it to, who's your target audience, who your guest going to be.
You must have been over the moon, Carly, with that booking.
Oh, definitely.
So that paid for your academy membership then? For both of your academy memberships?
Yes. Yeah.
And left change.
And a bit of change.
With one booking. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And then you went and got another rent. Are all your rent-to-rents in Liverpool?
Yeah.
Well, how many do you have now?
Five.
You got five?
three contractors.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the fifth one that we've just got is for contractors, so there'll be three running as contractors and two in the city centre.
Yeah.
They run as tourists, basically, given its location. But we have actually been able to contact a few of the universities and the medical schools. So now that's booked out till the end of the year, actually, one of them, just on month-long bookings.
Wow.
And I think we dropped like 2 days in October just on the changeover.
Did I ever tell you about my rent-to-rent that I had in Liverpool?
No.
Yeah, I remember.
I had a rent-to-rent in Liverpool. Yeah, I did.
Didn't you just drive past it and think, what, I'm just going to see if this will work.
I drove past it. It was in Anfield. I don't have it anymore. And this is quite a few years ago. I had it for 2 years, but the landlord wanted it back. But to be honest, I only had one in the area. But it was contractors. It's a little small house in Anfield.
Yeah.
And I was just driving past it because I'd just been at a property, actually Krepp's house in Liverpool. And I saw that it was for let. And I just thought, oh, that's interesting. And then a guy stepped outside and I thought, I'm just going to. So I pulled over and I said, do you know who's renting this? And he said, oh, I'm the landlord. So I said, I'm particularly interested in renting. I don't know why I said that. I might be interested in renting it. And he went for you. And I was in my big Range Rover. And it was like, Anfield's not the most expensive part of Liverpool. I think the rent was like 520 quid.
Oh.
And within about 2 weeks, I managed to get some contractors in there that were in there for like 4 months.
Yeah,
and they were paying, from memory, I think it was like £45 a night each.
Okay.
But the profit was insane. I was just thinking, all the people that own properties in this street, all the landlords even, I might be making 200 quid, maybe 300 quid profit after they paid their mortgages and whatnot. I'm making £1,000 a month, sometimes more, profit from this one. And that wasn't even in a nice, that wasn't in some penthouse or, I was just in a bit of a crappy part of Liverpool, which is mad, isn't it?
It is. It is. Yeah. When we look at the stats of the occupancy and we look at the different, the different Airbnbs that we've got, SAs that we've got in different areas, it's amazing to see the ones on the outskirts do a little bit better than the ones in the city centre sometimes.
Mm, why didn't that is?
Peak seasons. Yeah. Peak seasons. Yeah. We find that the ones in the city centre are controlled by peak seasons.
Yeah.
Whereas the ones on the outskirts, it's contractors. It's all year round.
I want to know what the roles and responsibility breakdown is. Like, what are your responsibilities on the day-to-day in the business?
Carly kind of looks after the SAs, more so.
The management.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty systemized. There's not a great deal to do. We use smart locks, things like that. I like more design, create, and then you engineer.
Yeah. Carly thinks of the idea. I make the idea happen.
Yeah. So, for example, like you're buying a property at the moment. What are you buying right now? I know you're about to complete. What is it?
Yeah. So we're buying a 3-bedroomed house in Ellesmere Port. It's going to be our own either flip or BRR project.
Mm-hmm.
We got it for a really good deal.
How much you pay for it?
We secured it for $85,000.
Okay. And does it need a big refurb?
It does.
Yeah.
How much?
About $35,000.
Okay.
I think. But we're going to do quite a bit of the work ourselves, so we'll be able to reduce that refurb cost.
Yeah.
But the end value of that should be about $180,000.
Wow. So you're probably about $120,000 all in with the purchase and the refurb. $180,000.
Yeah.
You could sell it, make $60,000, or even better, refinance it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tax free.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's in a good location, so it could be a good SA as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how did you get the money for that?
It's actually through a friend. You say it a lot. Tell everybody what you're doing.
Yeah.
And we chat.
Yeah.
And then we've got friends that just sort of take an interest because they see what we do on socials, and they said, oh, we'd love to get into property. Don't know where to begin. Started with a barbecue in the garden in summer.
Oh God, yeah, we absolutely blew their minds.
And like we downloaded all.
How?
Everything that you've ever said, we just talked at them.
Just summarised it to them over a burger, and then we're like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, let's sit down, Carly Daly. Tell us what Samuel Lee's Academy is like. What have you learned? It's like.
Okay, here we go. Yeah. One thing is though, like when you educate yourself, you genuinely do. I mean, you'll never know. I don't know everything there is to know about property. You'll never know everything. But when you've got like a really good grasp on everything property, you know, tenants, the legalities, the surveys, negotiation, inflation, how it all works, refinance, taxes, it is a superpower, isn't it?
Yeah. It feels great.
It
does genuinely feel great. You can walk into a room and just start talking about property.
And it's stuff that everyone cares about. It's not like you finish university and you've just studied, you know, structural engineering, and people are like, oh, not really interested in what goes on in the windows of property. This is stuff that's actually going to make people rich. It's what wealthy people do. It's a superpower, and you have it forever.
It is. We love it. I mean, the conversation after we had with our friends, it was like, yeah, okay, I definitely want to get involved with this. how can we do it? So, well, you know, if we source a property that we think is going to be good for you, we'll let you know, and we can jump on board with us at that. So I came across this one in Ellesmere Port, and we were going to sell it on. But then we thought, hold on, what about our friends? Let's give them a call. So we told them about the deal, and we said, you know, would you be interested in doing a joint venture with us? You put up $100,000, and we'll give you a fixed return, fixed percent return. I was like, yeah, absolutely.
How much are you giving them?
15%.
It's quite high.
Yeah, it is. It is
secured or unsecured?
Unsecured.
Okay, so that's why it's high.
If we could have gone either way, but it's I think trading wise, we should have gone anywhere between 8% and 12% maybe.
But they're a friend, and you want to see them really happy.
Exactly.
They're a friend.
Exactly.
There's a lot in the deal.
Yeah, there's a lot of profit in the deal. Are you going to get the rest from bridging?
Oh no, we had the rest ourselves, so we've just.
But I guess it's only $20,000, really, isn't it?
Exactly.
And because we're going to do a lot of the work ourselves as well, you know, we can eat into that.
Yeah. And then it'll be super quick to refinance.
Yeah.
That's great. So you go out there actively finding property investment deals, BRRs, social housing, which we'll talk about, and then you package them and sell them to investors.
Yes.
Yep.
And then you charge, on average, how much do you charge?
On average, £3,000 per deal. Right. But then we can charge a little bit extra if we're going to do the project management.
Yeah.
If we're going to introduce them to mortgage brokers, lenders, bridging.
Right.
Bridging lenders as well. Yeah.
So $3,000 to the starting point, and then it could go up a bit more if they want help with the project management or support throughout the deal.
Yeah. Exactly. We're more than happy to offer a full hands-off service. So it just depends on the investor.
How many deals on average are you selling a month?
About one to two a month.
Just a couple.
Yeah. It's not a lot, but if you sell one or two, if you sell two deals, that's minimum of $6,000.
Yeah.
And that's clean, straight profit.
Yeah. I think in between, while deal selling, we've also set up 3 new rent-to-rents in between. We've project managed a full BRR build. We then bought our own instead of selling it. So we're a bit of a mixed bag. We're not just deal sellers. We're not just rent-to-rent. Mm. We're doing the social housing. That's an awful lot of networking and meetings and stuff. So we're busy all the time. And I feel like we're still in different pots, which I actually really enjoy.
Yeah, because you're diversifying your money, aren't you? Yeah. It's coming in. You're not just solely reliant on serviced accommodation or rent to rent or whatever. Exactly. You've got multiple
streams of income,
but all within the same universe.
Yeah. Exactly.
Which is good because, do you know what? I've met people that are doing a bit of crypto, a bit of Forex, a bit of stocks and shares, a bit of Amazon drop. And it's just like, come on, mate.
Yeah.
You're just trying everything. You're just throwing mud at the wall and hoping that something sticks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And nothing's working.
Yeah.
But when you're doing what you're doing, you're diversifying. But like when you do, and that's the great thing about packaging and selling deals, it's very high cash flow, it's very lucrative.
Yeah.
But you're out there on the field, you're meeting landlords, you're meeting agents, builders, because you're having to package deals for investors. And then when you find something that's really juicy and you just can't bring yourself to sell it, then you just buy it yourself. And if you haven't got the money, raise the finance from an investor. So you're putting yourself out there, you're immersing yourself in the business and obviously making a lot of profit at the same time.
Yeah.
And get to go to family occasions.
That's it.
Yeah.
On your terms.
I really enjoy that we're really diverse in the property sector when it comes to deal sourcing, because it means that we understand different models and different strategies for different investors as well.
How are you making the deal? Here's a question. So buy refurbished finance is when you buy a house. You push the value up. You get a really high value. So you've got forced equity. And then you use that forced equity. You leave that in the deal as the deposit upon refinancing the property, right? That's buy, refurbish, refinance, rent. One of the problems a lot of people are finding with buy, refurbish, refinance, rent is that once you've pushed the value up so high that when you remortgage it, because interest rates are high right now, the rent won't cover the mortgage payments.
Yeah.
Or you won't even be able to get a mortgage because even though the bricks and mortar valuation is high, it won't pass the stress test. So lenders will be unable to lend because they'll say, well, hang on a minute, how are you going to afford to pay the interest? How are you getting around that problem? And is that an issue for you guys?
We don't make it a problem to get around, to be honest. We look at the deals and we calculate it with the stress test in there. And if the numbers work on the stress test, then we'll push it out and then we'll sell it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't overcomplicate things. We try to keep property as simple as possible. The investors, we want to invest in easy things. We want to invest in stuff that's going to make us money without any complications. And that is what we focus on.
Right. So you just put it through the numbers.
Yep.
If it doesn't pass the stress test and it doesn't look like the rent's going to cover the new mortgage payments, then you just find a better deal.
That's it. Just move on. Don't dwell on it. There's going to be a better one out there.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people do overcomplicate it. There's a lot of low-hanging fruit.
Mm.
We got a 3-bed. It was an absolute mess. So we got it at a great price. We did. We got the builders in. They're also in the academy. That was a 6-week turnaround. And then our investor was able to take it back to market with about $55,000 profit Saturday.
Jeez.
So everything was pre-checked. The area is very good for rentals.
Do you think some people overcomplicate it by overthinking it and just looking at the worst case scenarios? This could go wrong. And it's like, well, hang on, let's just put a plan together to make sure it doesn't.
We've been guilty of that in the past.
Yeah.
That's
overthinking. Overcomplicating it and then kind of missing out. Or just sitting on something for way too long that you know isn't going to work, but you're trying to force it to work.
Yes.
Like, stop wasting time. Just move on. Yeah. That doesn't
move
work.
On.
Move on. Yeah. Get
or if you've got an investor that's taking forever to make a decision and, I'm working on this investor. No, find another investor.
Sell it to somebody else.
Say it to somebody else. They don't deserve it. Yeah. Are you worried about the tenant eviction bans that are coming in and the renters reform bill?
Yes and no. Because the BRRs that we source isn't BRRs to AST contracts, like normal tenants. They're BRRs to social housing.
Okay, so it changes the game.
Completely changes the game.
Because if you're renting it to a social housing provider, they will not be under the Renters Reform Bill, Tenancy Act.
Yeah.
It's completely different. It's commercial.
Yeah. There isn't going to be any bill that's going to come in that's going to evict social housing tenants.
No, it's because it's a commercial lease.
Yes.
Which I guess is attractive to your investors, because if they're, and also social housing providers, how does it work then? How do you find a social housing providing company, and how does it all work?
Yeah. So you have to start with picking an area that you want to, you want your properties in. So we're in the Northwest, there's loads of providers up there. So you can reach out to them, give them a call, and just tell them what we're doing. You know, we are, want to contribute to sourcing the number of beds that they require for their tenants. And then we go to our investors. We say we've got a provider in a particular area. They want to pay so much per room or per property. And we found your property. Well, we found the investor of the property. And this is how much the provider is going to pay you. And then we stack the numbers that way.
And the provider will pay, come what may, guaranteed. They'll usually sign 6-7 year long leases.
Yeah, just under 7 years is generally their contract to keep them safe. Occasionally, you can have them back to back, so they'll sign you a 6 years, 11 months, and there's already one in agreement, but it's a separate piece of paper that says another 6 years, 11 months.
Yeah,
but they start the day after.
I mean, that's long agreement, though, and you'll need rent reviews, and do you have those into your contracts?
Yep,
everything's built in. Generally, it's quite sort of government formed. Now is a really good time. The rents went up like a 30th of a percentile in April this year. They're probably not going to get reviewed for another 2-3 years. So now you're in, you're already at that higher rent. You've got 3 years that you know what you're getting, and in future, it should go up more.
Yeah.
It won't drop down. It may stay the same, but it's got a chance of increasing.
So you love the property business?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely love it.
Why do you love it so much?
I like it. I like it because I like working with investors. I like having a chat with them, finding out what their goals and dreams are, and helping them on that journey.
Yeah.
And I also enjoy helping us sales on that journey as well.
Yeah.
You meet people from just everywhere in the world, like accidental landlords where they've inherited a property, or you meet people that are property focused and that's all they've ever wanted. And there's varying reasons, and it's nice to get somebody's backstory and know, right, logically, this will help sell it to them because you're working in the right direction of what they feel.
And you're saving investors an awful lot of time, because if you've got the connections and you've got the links with the agents and you've negotiated the deals, what would you say? I mean, you've been on the academy now for, I think, a year?
Yes.
Yeah.
Just over a year.
Now. Is it? How long exactly is it? Do you know?
It'll be 17 months.
Okay, right. So almost a year and a half then.
There we go. Yeah.
How have you grown, would you say, as a person over the 18 months?
I think a lot.
Yeah. My mental mindset is so much better than it was 17 months ago. Because I'm out of the rat race. I feel like I've got a direction now.
Yeah.
We've got goals that we are both achieving together. And yeah, I think at the end of each day, I feel like I am achieving now.
And
I hope that comes across in a positive way.
Yeah, because you're building your own business.
Yes.
When you're buying properties, it's yours forever. It's your legacy. Yeah. Whereas when you're working for a company, you're often building somebody else's legacy.
Exactly that. Yeah. You know, we've got a name to build generational wealth. You know, we want to have a nice portfolio that we can pass on to generations and generations, and we now know how to do that.
How would you say you've grown?
I think it's having opportunities as a person. We've definitely grown as individuals, but also as a couple as well. A lot more different tests between us, and the like positive stress levels.
Yeah,
we're out of the comfort zone a lot, and that's why we've grown.
Yeah.
I think for me that just the diversifying, I get bored. That's amazing. Next.
Yeah.
Whereas this, we've got all different pockets, and then something I didn't see coming. I trained as a photographer in college. I've been doing that for like almost 17 years. Somebody in the academy got let down by a photographer, and I helped her out. In Liverpool, and now I've shot 50-odd properties this year.
Well, even my last winners on a Wednesday was saying, oh, you got Craydella coming next. I need to speak to her about doing some photography.
And it's so nice. I'm meeting more people.
Network is so important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who you know.
Yeah.
Carly's actually doing a photography job after here.
Yeah, because it's in the area.
Wow. Who's that with? Matt Knowles.
Network is important. Yeah. How has the experience been on the academy? What's it been like working with me?
It's been incredible.
Yeah.
It literally has been incredible. The tools that you've been delivered to us has allowed us to sit here right now and honestly say we are financially free. We've got direction. We're building a company together. We've met some amazing people as well on the academy, and none of it would have been possible unless we went to that £1 course in Leeds.
Yeah. That's where it all starts, man.
It's crazy to think back that, and it's not a cheesy put forward. It's we spent £1 and took our time, and that was all it took.
Mm.
And now we're here. And it's a really short space of time in your life, really, to go from there to here.
Yeah.
Yes, we've spent a bit more than £1 since on varying things, but.
Oh, we got that pound back ages ago.
What will be your final pieces of advice to someone watching this that's maybe in a full-time job, loves the idea of being full-time in property, being financially free, wants to make their life count, but is trapped in a job and wants to get started?
I would say take the time, invest in your education, learn as much as you can, and then take the time to understand which strategy, which business model you want to go down, and stay focused on that.
Mm.
Don't chase too many shiny pennies.
Yeah.
Just find what you want, find what you're passionate about, and stay focused.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
What are you saying?
I think focus is huge. And find something that resonates inside of you.
Yeah.
Money can't keep you always pushing forward. You need a deep meaning as well.
What's your deep meaning?
I think for us, it's family.
Yeah.
It's always family and friends. When we say family, they don't have to be blood related to be family. It's who we're around. That for me.
And that's the best gift you can give the world is your best self.
Yeah.
It's family, definitely. But it's also giving back as well. We're both a firm believer in giving back to the universe, so to say. This is why we particularly like social housing because...
Yeah.
You're building and providing houses for people who really, really need it. Yeah, sure, you're going to build a portfolio and you're going to generate your own kind of wealth in that way, but you're giving someone else an opportunity to live their life as well.
Yeah.
And that's why we focused on social housing because that resonates with us. That's always been able to give back.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, you guys are incredible. Craydella Properties, thank you so much for coming on Winners on a Wednesday, and I look forward to seeing you continue to win.
Thank you for having us.